You'll turn your Bibles, Psalms 27. The whole passage. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though the war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have a desire to the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifice of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mothers forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are rising against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Lord, we love you today, and we thank you for your word, and I ask God right now that you just touch and move, and Lord, that you'll speak to every heart, you'll anoint your servant, Lord, to speak your word. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalms 27, these psalms, folks, they're true to life. Because the reason they're true to life is because they are drawn from life. From the stuff that life is made up of. Things like hope and fear, love and hate, jubilation and frustration, faith and anxiety, joy and despair. In one moment, the songs roll from the soul of the worshiper, and then next he's trapped in the quicksand of doubt. And these men who wrote the psalms, they knew what it was like to be shouting in one minute and next minute shaking and frustrated. They knew what it was like to have faith and thrilled and then have the nastiness of fear to threaten them. You can have hope in all the word of God. Amen. But this Psalms seems to be one of those that is for everlasting. Some scholars think the Psalms 26, 27, and 28 together, since they link them together because they mention the temple in some form, and those are easily found when you read down through those Psalms, and because they are focused on David, who is seeking the Lord in his temple. There are also some who choose to put a larger fence in this segment of the Psalms. And there's a man by the name of Harry Ironside. He grouped 15 Psalms together, running from Psalms 25 all the way to Psalms 39. And he divided them up into categories. And Psalms 25 through 29 talks about the foundation of the worshiper's confidence in his God. Psalms 30 to 34 talks about the worshiper's having salvation in his heart. When you read 35 through 39 in Psalms, the worshiper's necessity of personal holiness. And you can kind of see a pattern here. See, confidence in God for the work of his salvation brings with it a responsibility. So when you have confidence in God and his work, for His salvation in your life, you have a responsibility. And that responsibility is that we must live godly and reverent lives in order to honor that God. Amen? Some of the Psalms can be pinpointed to a particular event in the life of David, but there is not a certain time that this particular Psalms can be identified in David's life. But we can be certain, folks, that David was facing some of his enemies, and he was crying out to the Lord for help and for God to give him help and relief. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." What does it mean to say, "The Lord is my light"? Have you ever found yourself in a pitch black room or in the woods or something, and you just don't see any light? You ever found yourself there? Many of us have. And it's kind of a scary thing. And when the lights come back on, you're relieved. Like, oh, wow. You know, because when that light's out and it's pitch dark, man, there's somebody in every corner. I mean, the least little crackle is magnified and you think, who's here? Right? You're grabbing your ball bat or your Barbie dolls or whatever it is and you're ready to smack somebody with them. Whoever is there, you're ready to tear them up. But when that light comes on, you're like, oh, finally. And so you leave the light on the rest of the night. Right? Maybe you still sleep with the light on. Light enables us to see. So without light, we would not be able to enjoy all the beautiful colors that God has blessed us with in His remarkable creation. Light, folks, enables us to see our loved ones up close and far away. Light gives us a sense of security. Think of all the children and all of you adults here that sleep with the nightlight. We have porch lights. We have yard lights. Why? To deter crime. Light is perhaps one of the most important things we have in this world. Imagine what it would be like to not have light. Imagine that. What if we didn't have the sun, the moon, stars? No light at all would be debilitating. No vision, no sight. We are dependent on light for our inventions. And probably just about, if not all, of our conveniences of life. Can you imagine your iPhones and your other phones without light? You're scrolling, there's nothing there. Might get something done. You see, folks, in fact, this could probably be said about all our necessities. Light. We are dependent on light for all of our inventions and probably just about every one of our conveniences. Think about it for a moment without light. No light would mean no sun. The sun is necessary for all vegetation. Trees and all the grass and all that kind of stuff that puts off the shelter and the heat, producing oxygen. If you had no sun, the trees wouldn't grow. We wouldn't have oxygen. You wouldn't breathe. How many of you can breathe without oxygen? Anybody? Light is critical. It is absolutely vital to all life. Light is. Everything is affected by light in some way or another. Light was the very first thing God spoke into existence. Light was created before the sun, the moon, and the stars. Think about it. God is our light. The Lord is my light, folks. God is our source of life. God is our all and all. God is our security who eliminates all of our fears. God gives us light. He gives us sight. It is because of God that we have purpose. It is because of God that we have meaning and can make sense of life. And apart from Him, everything crumbles and amounts to nothing. If there were no God, there would be no us. Amen? Listen to what Jesus says in John 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In Psalms 27, 1 through 3, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up on me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though through war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. You see, we can see where David's confidence sprang up in verse 3, in these first three verses, in this passage that we just read. David here rehearses the time in his life when the Lord has been there for him. God has been his light. God has been his salvation. God has been his stronghold. There is something to be said, folks, about the times that God deals with men on a personal basis. And that is what David is bringing up to us in this Psalms. God speaks to him on a personal level. David can recall the times of God's greatness. He can recall the times of God's gentleness and His generosity. And those thoughts of God's presence often have a capacity to help men in their darkest hours. Amen. When you're going through rough times, don't you remember the good times? The times that God has blessed you, the times that God has helped you. And that helps your faith. When David killed the giant, he looked back on the bear and the lion. That's what he told the king. Said, later, let me go after him. I've killed a bear with my bare hands and a lion. He looked back on the good things and the times that God helped him. He said, I can take this one too. Because he's realizing, hey, he's not doing it on his own. It's God in him. And that's what we need to realize, folks. Amen. We're anything that we are, it's not because of ourselves. It's because of God. Amen. And so we need to give Him all the credit. God has always been there for me, even when I wasn't serving Him like I should. Those thoughts of God's presence often have the capacity to help men in their darkest hours. And so we know that God is there despite what the surrounding circumstances may show us. We know He's there. See, light. When we think of light in the Bible, there are various things that are clear when we see Him in the way. In 1 Timothy 6:16, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. In Job 38:19, God is in the way where the light dwells. Psalms 104, God, in verse 2, God covers Himself with light. You don't have these scriptures, so don't worry about it. Samuel 22 and 29, Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Psalms 18, 28, The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Psalms 36, 9, For with Thee in the foundation of life, in Thy light shall we see light. John 1, 9, That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now we'll get back on track here in John, 1 John 1. But there's another passage that identifies God as light in 1 John 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. You see, this passage, folks, must do with the sinless nature, purity, and the holiness of God, as opposed to the darkness of sinful behavior and depraved nature of men. So when we find David speaking of light in Psalms 27, it is with the suggestion that God has illuminated purity, life, and hope. And amidst all the possibilities of David being attacked by his enemies, there is a God who will prevail and help him. You see, at the threat of war, God will deliver. In the presence of fear, God has a light that can totally remove the darkness. And then there's salvation. But the Lord isn't just our light. He is our salvation. The Hebrew word for salvation can also be rendered as deliverance. When you read Psalms 3, verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Psalms 18, 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. You see, when evil men advance against me, he says in this scripture in Psalms 27, to devour my flesh. When my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. You see this? There is a picture that David gives us when he says there are some enemies whose deep desire, whose hatred motivate them to attempt to destroy the flesh. You see, these enemies are in such a category of wild animals who are predators and night stalkers. And while most of us, folks, don't have those kind of enemies seeking after us, we are involved in a spiritual battle. Psalms, 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affections are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Revelation 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. 2 Timothy 4, 17 and 18, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. There is another matter that we can also see in addition to spiritual battle is the one currently surrounding us. The kind of personal attacks of a verbal nature, such as what false witness could make in Psalms 27. They can attack with words of solely or reputation, tear down our witness, and feel like poisonous darts that just sting us. The aromatic phrase, to eat the flesh, means to slander. To which one translation renders it utterly slanders against me. But whatever the oppression was, he was certain that God would intervene. And that ultimately all the attacks would literally come to nothing. Not only that God would assure that the enemies would stumble and fall. God's got our back, folks. The Lord is my salvation. Amen? Only the one true God can save his people. This is recorded over and over and over in the Old Testament as the Israelites would conquer pagan lands in the name of their God. God especially showed himself as the mighty Savior when he would defeat the enemies of his people without them having to raise a single weapon themselves. Look at the great Exodus from Egypt. What a mighty Savior is our God. God got those Egyptians out into the Red Sea. And all of a sudden, their wheels started coming off and they were stuck in the mud. They couldn't get out and the waters came in on them. The Israelites didn't even have to raise any weapons. And all the points, all this points to our great deliverance from sin found only in Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word translated salvation, according to Brown Diver Briggs, the Hebrew lexicon, it means deliverance, rescue, safety, welfare, prosperity, and victory. That's a powerful word, salvation. It means deliverance, rescue, safety, welfare, prosperity, and victory. What a powerful word. He's my salvation. He's my deliverance. He's my rescuer. He's my safety. He takes care of my welfare, my prosperity, all my victories. It's all in Him. He is my salvation. Salvation is a manifestation of God's love. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved, might receive salvation. Amen? Christ delivers us from out of the bondage of sin. He sets us free to be the people that He called us to be. Amen? He called us to be something. God created us for a reason. We can't be that when we're in the world. We can't be that when we're stuck in the mud of sin. When we're in Egypt, we can't be that way. But thank God, through the cross, amen, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can find remission of sins at an old altar, amen. We can go down in that water and have all those sins remitted, amen, in that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. And He gives us the power daily to overcome. He delivers us out of bondage. He sets us free. He is our rock and our safety. Christ is now preparing a dwelling place for us in heaven. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God is our safe place, isn't He? He's our refuge. And such, He most certainly gives us strength in the midst of hard times. Who can possibly overpower our all-powerful God? Who can sneak by His seeing eye? Who can evil prepare apart from His all-hearing ear? None. Nobody can take Jesus Christ, our God, by surprise. Nobody. Are you afraid? Do you have any fear looming in your life? Do you fear terrorists? Do they scare you? Bad storms, do they scare you? Do you fear losing your job? Are you afraid of dying? Are you afraid of losing a relationship falling apart on you? Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, listen to this, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from God but you. Amen? You are the only one that can make that decision. Our God works in ways that we often don't even understand. There's a missionary. I read this story. There was a missionary on furlough. He told this true story while visiting his home church in Michigan. He said, while serving at a small field hospital in Africa, every 2 weeks, he traveled by bicycle through the jungle to nearby a city for supplies. And it was a journey of 2 days and required camping overnight on the halfway point. And on one of those journeys, he said, I arrived in a city where I planned to collect my money from the bank and purchase medicine and supplies and begin my 2-day journey back to the hospital. And upon arriving at the city, two men were fighting. One was seriously injured. I treated his injuries and told him about Jesus Christ. He said, I traveled 2 days, camped overnight, and arrived back home without incident. 2 weeks later, he said, I repeated my journey. And when I arrived back at the city, I was approached by a young man that I had treated. And this young man told me he knew I carried money and medicine, he said, and some friends and I followed you into the jungle, knowing you would be camping overnight. We planned to kill you and take the money and the drugs. But just as we were about to jump you in your camp, we saw that you were surrounded by 26 armed guards. And the young man said, he laughed and said, I certainly was alone out in that jungle at the campsite. But the young man pressed the point saying, no, sir. I was not the only person to see the guards. My 5 friends also saw them. And we all counted them. It was because of those 26 armed guards that we were afraid and left you alone. He said, at this point in the message, as he was telling his church, a man in the audience jumped to his feet and interrupted the missionary and asked the exact day of that incident. When did it happen? The missionary told him the date, and the man excitedly told this story. He said, on the night of your incident in Africa, it was morning here, and I was preparing to play golf. I was about to tee off when I felt the urge to pray for you. And in fact, the urging of the Holy Ghost was so strong, I called men to meet me here to pray for you. And if you were here with me that day, the man said, please stand up. The men who met together to pray stood up. And the missionary wasn't really concerned with who they were, but he wept as he counted the number. 26 men. It's our God. You see, when we don't understand it, when we don't see anything, He's working for us. Amen? Folks, I'm telling you, God is our salvation. Amen? He is our everything. Hallelujah. You see, folks, He's our stronghold. The Lord is the strength of my life. And the picture that the psalmist is painting here is a picture of protection. And it is literally as if a fort had been built around them. Marcus Luttrell, author of the book Lone Survivor, tells the story of his special forces team being the first one dropped into Afghanistan 1 month after the terrorist attack of September 11th, 2001. In the U.S., they were primarily on a Rinnakan spy mission when a teenager goat herder discovered them. And there was a great debate as to whether they should allow him to escape or not. In the end, they allowed him to live. They allowed him to leave, but it would come for a high price of Luttrell losing the men who were on the special forces team. He was desperately injured in the battle and thought he also would die at the hands of the Taliban. However, he was taken into a safe house by some of the Afghanistan chief and who were in the Northern Alliance, and they were determined to protect him. And he wrote that there were times that he could hear the voices of his enemy while he was hidden away in one of the homes in that village. He said that there were times he was concerned that in his feverish state that he was going to cry out in delirium and be discovered. And almost 2 weeks after he had been placed in the safe house, some army rangers came in and rescued him and flew him out of there. You see, there's nothing like having a stronghold to hide in. When you are under the duress, when you are under the pressure of the enemy of your soul. Amen. You see, I also might add, folks, that when we come into this stronghold, we come on the conditions of the stronghold, not our own conditions. We come to the Lord as He requires us to come, not how we want to go. We do not attempt to change Him, but rather He is in the work of changing us. and redeeming us. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? You can have great confidence in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can have it, folks. In Psalms 27, 44 through 6, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You hear what I read? Therefore I will offer in His tabernacle, sacrifices of joy. You know what He's saying? When I don't feel like worshiping God, I'm going to sacrifice and worship God. When this flesh does not want to worship God, I'm going to worship God anyways. I don't care how bad I'm feeling. I don't care what I'm going through. I'm going to worship Him. Sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Sacrificing, singing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. The psalmist pours out the very desire of the soul, which is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I saw a saying here a while back, says, when I miss church, do I miss church? Do you love coming to church, or do you look for every excuse to miss? David says, I desire my soul would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why would we want to miss coming to the house of God? Why do we look for excuses not to come and be with God and His people? This kind of desire, folks, can only pour out of a heart of a worshiper. David was a man who modeled courage, leadership, and he was a conqueror, but more than that, he was a worshiper. He was a man who had a passion for God and the things of God. You see, if our generation can ever be touched by a passion and a hunger for God, it is only then that they will become worshippers. Certain privileges come to those who are worshippers. Fellowship come with a company of priests. The taste of bread from the table of showbread. The way made clear because of the illuminating light from the candlesticks. The scent of incense that rises from the second altar. As access to the inner sanctuary of the tabernacle. And literally being in the presence of God. That's what you get when you're a worshiper. David did not attend the service of the Lord out of a sense of duty. He often lingered in that place because it was there his treasure was. Our heart has a unique way of showing where our treasure is, doesn't it? Amen? That is why people who long for the house of the Lord often find great fellowship. People who long for the house of the Lord often find encouragement. People who long for the things of God and the house of God find spiritual strength. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. David may have been far from the house of the Lord in a geographical sense, folks, but he was in the middle of this place of worship in his heart, in his soul, and in his spirit. See, the thought of God's house controlled him. He desired it. He hungered for it. David, that's why David said, I am glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. He was glad. He said, just let me be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. See, there is an outcome of what is taking place with David's heart. And that is going to be hidden by God. A true worshiper can count on being in a place that Paul wrote of in Colossians 3, verse 3. He says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. There's an old hymn said, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. In Psalms 27, 7 through 12, it says, Hear, O Lord, this is a soul's prayer. When I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God, my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witness are risen up against them, against me, and such as breath out cruelty. At this point in the Psalms, things change a little bit. He was initially walking on the highlands of faith, but now it appears that he's slipping into these lower lands of fear. We can never forget that fear often lives right next door to faith. Come on. Our faith can be high one moment, and we're afraid of things the next. Fear lives right next door to faith. It is almost as if we are on a roller coaster from faith to fear and from fear to faith. But David cries out to the Lord and he pleads with God to have mercy on him. More times than one, we are often at that very control of discouragement, aren't we? We can even get angry because why am I here? Why am I so discouraged? Why am I so frustrated? We know that we shouldn't be there, but though various twists and turns in life, we don't sense the presence of the Lord in our trials. And there's nothing more fearful to us than when we feel those moments of rejection. And one of the strongest psychological and spiritual needs that all of us have is the acceptance of God. And it is often amazing that we will go through to try to gain it. The things that we will try to do to gain God's acceptance. Here's where it gets spiritual. You see, the devil literally is looking for every opportunity he can to exploit that feeling of rejection. And he will use it with lies. God has rejected you. The church has rejected you. Your family has rejected you. You are a misfit who has no business being around people who have their act together. You ever heard those lies? You can see something that flows out of this prayer. David here is seeking acceptance. He's seeking to be heard. He's seeking guidance. He's seeking protection. And these factors are crucial, folks, in our spiritual life. And the only way it can be filled is when the Lord becomes our light and our salvation. It's a prescription to the soul. In Psalms 27, 13 and 14... I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We're so impatient. Don't lie and say you're, come on, we're impatient. God, you should have took care of this situation yesterday. Right? Let's all get down and repent right now. I fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David gives to us the prescription we need when we're on that, on the side of fear, instead of on the side of faith. Wait on God. Wait on it. You see, it may be a hard pill to take, but as time passes in your walk with God, you will see what is best. Wait on the Lord! See, the things that David prayed for and the things that we pray for do not often come to us immediately. God has His own things that He works on, and they are not to be confused with the schedule that we have. You know, we look in our calendar, this should have taken place already. Huh? You see my calendar, God? That bill is due tomorrow. Huh? God, just wait on the Lord. God, this situation needs taken care of. Just wait. He's always on time. He's always on time. God has His own timing. And that He works on, and they are not to be confused with the schedule that we have, folks. You find great hope, you find great comfort, whether you like it or not, in waiting. Come on, all of you parents, tell your kids, hold your horses! Don't rush me! You know, they want it to, Mom! Dad, come on! I'll get to it when I get to it. We don't like it when God tells us that, though, do we? Huh? You know, it's like, why do I got to do this? Because I said so. God says those things, too. We don't like it. We have the same... We have the same confidence that man who is waiting on the bus to come to that bus stop. It'll come when it's good and ready. You don't know exactly when it'll get there, but it'll get there. They that wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40, as we stand. Verse 28 to 31. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I'm telling you, folks, trust in the Lord. Amen. Just stay there. Just wait on the Lord. Amen. And He will be there. Amen. Lord, we love You today. We thank You, God, for Your goodness and Your mercy. And I ask, God, right now that You just help us here. And God, help us to understand, Lord, that You are our strength. You are our salvation, Lord. God, You are our comfort. You are whatever we need, God, You are there. We give You the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.